Thank you. Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, that's a good thing to have happen to you guys, folks. I was ready to go on the air. I got an email, text message from my wife says, love you. Isn't that something? That means that she must be watching out there. Michelle's got two little grandbabies, stayed last night. My son stayed over. The dog stayed over. Another dog stayed over. Cats coming in the windows. Rats running everywhere. So she's probably going to be pretty anxious for me to get home here. Love you, sweetie. Thanks. Michelle and I are a team. And I think the guys who are down here who know us really understand that and really understand that I could not do what I do were not for a supportive helpmate beside me. And I guess I'm speaking to both. I got my shirt on backwards. Speaking to both men and women. You can't go forward if your wife's not with you, sadly. And women, love your husbands enough to allow them to do what it is the Lord's called them to do. It's rocky ground sometimes. Doesn't make sense. Takes a lot of faith and belief, love for one another. And I just honor my wife. And those, yeah, you guys have been married for any amount of time. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So we've had I was freezing this morning. I got by on it. This big old church is cool. Everybody's starting to come by. They're all coming by now. I was freezing. I got my shirt on backwards. I just pulled that on real quick here. We had a great day yesterday. I think we have a great show lined up. Some stuff that, man, I need a month. I need a month just today. Hey, Vic! All right, man. There he is. Did you guys see that? Vic's up and it's little Vic. Yes, sir. All right. Okay. Come on, Coach. Pull yourself back in here. I'm going to try to tighten this up. Okay. Florida update. We went yesterday, 16 of us. I'm going to give you a real brief Florida update. Run down my list here. By the way, we want to come to your town. Now, listen. It's December. 2 weeks ago yesterday was Christmas. 2 weeks from yesterday it was Christmas. January, New Year's Eve's coming through there. It tends to be a kind of a downtime for us here at Pass the Salt Ministries. But we want to begin now to come to your town. Denny Bryan's already got us on the schedule for January 27, 28. I don't know, Denny, if we figured out how many days that is. Chad's down there having his Salt and Light Brigade, Texas Brigade's going. He's doing all that stuff. There are events going on. But we want to come to your town. My brain just went dead. I'm going to go to Minnesota. We've got it written down there. We've got Gary's or Anal Gary's here keeping me straight today. We're going to start getting this stuff back on the calendar, getting it all up. But listen, we want to begin now to start scheduling coming out to those places. I'm just going to tell you, there's an unbelievable dynamic that happens. We were talking about that again last night at dinner. Remember yesterday when we were talking about forsake not these, I'm sorry, have nothing to do with Coach. Calm down here. Not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I mean, we talked about that yesterday. And we were talking about the synergy that happens when the 16 of us, all believers, get together. It's like, it's pretty amazing. And we want to be able to create that where you live. Because we're more and more convinced that even more, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even more, Vic, as you see that day approach. Hey, Vic, look at this.
I saw him.
Huh?
Yeah.
Even that's an inside story. Even more as that day is approaching, forsaking ourselves together. I'm doing okay now, man. Thanks. Vic's like my, if I ever get to be president of the United States, he'll be my chief of staff or something here. Vic, they'll think I've converted to Islam. I'll flip that back over. So listen. We want to come. You say, Coach, I don't have the money to do it. We'll help you. We'll help the finances. Coach, I don't have a building where I can do it. We'll rent a building. let's get you on the schedule. You get a hold of us and let's get you on the schedule because men's hearts are beginning to wake up. So yesterday, 16 of us go to this house. I can't even tell you how many huge trees are on the ground there. Can't even tell you. I have to thank Craig Fawcett, who brought a skid steer. For those of you who don't know, it's a bobcat. And I've got to thank Don Marshall, who brought his great big John Deere. Craig Fawcett drove about 1,300 miles. Vic drove 1,750 one way. Don Marshall came 1,100 miles. He came from New Jersey, pulling a big old tractor behind him. Mark Trump's here. Mark it took him, well, you know, he was in a snowstorm. Guys have made great sacrifices to get here. But what we are doing could not be done without that equipment, without those guys coming down here. It just couldn't be done. Because as I was trying to explain to Larry, these trees, folks, I wish I could make this make sense to you. Larry said, how much longer is it going to be like that? Was the type of question Larry asked. And I said, I can't even give you an answer because everywhere you go, these massive, massive trees, three times as big around as I am. I'm pretty big around. Three times as big around as me. I'm not making it up. These trees are in yards and on buildings everywhere. Now here, listen, you can't get them off of the building if you don't have the proper equipment. You can't just go up there and push this tree off of the house. You kids just can't go and push this tree out of your driveway. These things are massive, and you have to have the proper equipment. So let's say you come along and imagine how big these are, right? These things. And so you saw one up. Takes you however long to get through this great big log. Now you got this great big log sitting right in the middle of the driveway. Now what do you do with it? You can't move it. You can't pick it up. So, folks, it's like this everywhere. And until you come down and you see it and eyeball it, you don't have a feel for it. And we had an interesting thing yesterday. I wanted to take the guys out to eat last night. I said, "Listen, you guys worked hard. We're going to go to a buffet. I want to take them to I can't remember the name of it. Doesn't matter. Very common. Where was that buffet we were going to go to? Wasn't open."
Golden Corral.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. Golden Corral. We saw they were open because not all the businesses are open. I said, good. So I've got our 16. We're going to go to Golden Corral. And then that anal Gary calls ahead. Pretty smart, right? So they're not open. They close at 2 o'clock. I said, what? 2 o'clock? Yeah, they close at 2 o'clock. Why? They can't get help. Because everybody here in Panama City leaves Panama City because they don't have a place to stay. So they drive to Destin or they drive to wherever and they stay in hotels. Insurance are putting people up in hotels because they can't get into their houses. Why? There's huge trees sitting everywhere. So, oh, my goodness. So 16 of us spent all day there yesterday. We took about 20 minutes to eat lunch, but we kept moving the whole time, pulling up brush and cutting down trees and moving trees. And Don had it. What's going on? We have to go back there this morning. We didn't even get done. And so that's what we're doing. We come to the church. We find out where the people need the help. Again, we try to work with Christians. They come here. They get on the board here, and we go do it. So just continue to pray that we're safe. And those of you out there who've heard from Salvia, yes, we'll take your donation. You want to help us. Roger called us last night and said, listen, I'll buy you guys supper on Thursday night. So supper's taken care of. But the expenses, they add up. Man, everywhere you look, they add up. And so it is what it is. You know what I'm saying. Let me move on here. Anybody want to? I got 1,000 things I want to talk about here today. Let me go right here. Hey, Jared, bring up JR's letter. Is JR in here this morning? Because JR wrote a letter yesterday, and I just thought it was. I don't know if y'all saw it or not. And I just thought it was pretty well done. Larry, is JR in? I don't know why I see Larry. Just like popped up on my screen. In here, JR? JR in here? Well, maybe he's not in here. I don't see him in here this morning. Jared's going to bring it up because some of you didn't get to hear it. JR wrote a letter. I don't know. Just he wrote a letter to all of us. And okay, here's talking about, as we did yesterday, the death of Chris, the weatherman, Chris Bradley. And here's what JR wrote. He said, it's so sad for Chris, for his children, for those in the Columbus, Ohio community, and those in the nation that were followers and fans of Chris. Why is it so sad? Well, first of all, if the Bible says what it means and means what it says, Chris is very likely not in a better place, right? And if his husband does not see the light soon, he could soon be keeping Chris company, but not like either one of them imagined. They don't call it hell for nothing. Those in the communities are definitely being confused about the plight of the Sodomites before and after death. Would Chris be alive today if he had chosen a more healthy lifestyle? We don't want to talk about this, right? If we compare his behavior to smoking and drinking, would not the risks be at least equivalent? Yes, we still encourage this unsafe practice by intimidating, bullying, and punishing those who are wise enough to call it what it is, an unhealthy practice to be avoided. Talking about a sodomy, right? It's an unhealthy practice. We encourage people not to smoke. We encourage them not to drink. We encourage them not to use drugs. But we don't say a thing about sodomy, which has the chance of making somebody die. That confusion especially includes the two adopted children. JR's talking about Chris's two adopted children, who never had a mother and will in life be challenged like few other children, Chris and his consorts' well intentions notwithstanding. Even though we say that two men can raise a child, we know it's not the same, right? And we're all numb. We're mute. We don't want to offend anybody. So JR writes, many pastors, parents, community leaders will have committed the sin of omission by not mentioning the truth in this situation because the sin of sodomy has not only been ignored, but in essence, normalized. No, wait. Actually, it's been glorified. And as for the church leaders at King Avenue United Methodist Church in Columbus, Ohio, and specifically Reverend John Keeney, well, the Bible talks about the consequences of bad church leaders. I'll leave it at that, JR said. Chris's plight was a sad situation and not an event that should be celebrated or eulogized. It says a lot about the society in which we live, as well as the supposed Christian churches that encourage or remain silent with regard to Chris's misguided and unfortunate spiritual choice. This also shows that America not only has a moral problem, but a definite leadership problem. Amen, JR. In the church, in business, in education, in the news, in the entertainment industry, the government, and last but not least, the family. As goes the family, so goes all the aforementioned areas of influence and our nation. So I just thought that is well said. That is well said. Nobody will speak the truth. Why won't anybody speak the truth? Listen, we love Chris Bradley. He was a great weatherman. We know he loved his partner, yada, 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 yada. But what he was doing ends in death. It is a death style. Why can't our leadership stand up and say that? That was a choice he made to live like that. We all are saddened by his death. But unless you change, you shall likewise perish. Somebody? I heard somebody trying to come in there.
Yeah, that was me. I was going to jump in there. Hey, I've been the behavioral therapist in homes with Junior has two mommies, and on one occasion a father that was actually a cross-dresser. But anyway, what I'm saying is oftentimes these kids even know there's something wrong with it. I've had statements said to me by a boy. That's why I've always said it takes men to raise boys.
Right.
And when I've been in the homes, I've tried to be the masculine present as a therapist and the fake daddy across X amount of region. And on one occasion, I had the boy really frustrated. He was like, even the dog is a girl. I quote, even the dog is a girl. The boy getting older, really needing the masculine teaching, looking for it from somebody. But he's got two mommies, sisters, and female dogs. That's talk about overkill.
And Bobby, nobody will stand up. My point is, we can tell the truth in a way that, listen, we can't worry about offending people, but we need to tell the truth. Those kids in school need to be told that here is what possibly could happen to you if you live this lifestyle. Now, listen, not everybody who smokes cigarettes gets cancer and dies. Not everybody who smokes marijuana gets hooked on drugs. Not everybody. So we'd say, okay, not everyone who practices sodomy dies, but some do. Why can't we say that? Why can't we say that? I don't know. But I thought JR's, I thought it was pertinent. I got a million places. Anybody else want to weigh in on that? Come on over here, John. I did a little testimony yesterday. I got to give you a little testimony here today. Anybody else want to weigh in on that topic? Don't feel that you have to.
I want to say that maybe one avenue of action that those of us who are cognizant of what the situation is start working on this. Why does the government even allow homosexual same-sex partners to adopt children?
Larry, you're on page 12. I'm on page one. You and I are on the same wavelength all the time here, man. Right? Huh? Who's at fault here?
No, but don't forget, I mean, the government and the foster care system, they love that.
Yes,
that's a massive, major agenda, and they're never going to speak against that. You got to remember who's placing these kids in the foster homes. These are the people that have went to college and got the degrees, LC. These are the people that do that.
But, Bobby, those who should be speaking against it aren't. That's my problem, right? That we have a battle going on where only one team's playing. We receive all the incoming and there ain't no outgoing, and that don't even make sense to me, right? And we keep our mouths shut because we're told we're not loving. You're not loving if you tell somebody the truth. That's not loving. Craziness. Hey, listen, I got to shift gears because I got a lot to talk about here. I got my buddy John here. I'm not going to use your last name, John, just because I'm not going to use your last name. Most of you know who he is. But we did some testimony. John's a very, very successful businessman, and he's taken the time off. He needed to get away like everybody else, and he's come down here. But I want to give a little bit of background. This is going to be pertinent if you bear with me a second, okay? About three years or so ago, John passed out in his house, fell down, boom, hit his head. Didn't know what happened. Wife picks him up, takes him to the hospital. He goes in the hospital. I'm just hurrying along to the story to get to where we went to, John. And he didn't really get checked for a concussion and all that kind of stuff. But he went home and he had just horrible, horrible headaches to the point he just couldn't. I'll let him tell the story about what's going on. But in the midst of this story, something almost tinfoil had happened. In fact, John told me that for years he couldn't tell anybody about it because they just wouldn't believe it. So after John hit his head, he'd have vertigo, loud sounds, bright lights. He'd reached a point where he just didn't even know if he could go on living. And I'm gonna let John pick up. Can you guys say something, John? See if they can hear you.
Hey, can you hear me out there?
We okay? Yeah, we're good. Okay, yeah. John. I didn't mean to walk all over your story there, buddy. I wanted to lay it back there.
Hey, first before I even begin, hey, thanks, Coach, brother.
Thanks, man. Church camp for adults. Yeah, huh? It's good, man.
Oh, it's been great, and I appreciate your leadership in this. And it's been a life changing thing to come down here and do this.
Amen.
And
John's an old farmer. He knows how to wield a chainsaw. So that's been good too. I got old Trump over here. I'll get him in here later too. Go ahead, John. Tell this.
Yeah. It'll be 4 years coming up here on actually it's Christmas Eve, 2:00 in the morning. I'd had the flu. And kept getting worse and worse, and I didn't think too much about it. You got the flu, but I was up in the middle of the night, and I was having trouble sleeping, and wasn't feeling good at all. Thought I'd better go get a drink of water. I went to the sink there in the kitchen and stood there a little bit to get a drink, and I thought I'm not feeling too good here. But I think I better call for my wife, and never got a call. Fell over backwards.
Like an old tree. Just boom, fell back. Like a tree.
Hit my head on the kitchen floor, of course. I come to, and my wife's yelling for me. She's down in the basement. She doesn't know where I'm at. It's pitch dark in the house. I get set up. It takes me about half an hour to stand up. She got me to set up. Got some fluids in me. She says, I'm going to call emergency squad. I said, no, we're not going to call emergency squad. No, we can get this done type of mentality. I finally get on my feet. We go to the hospital. They give me IVs. Don't really, like the coach said, didn't check me out for a concussion or anything. Came back home. Finally kind of got over the flu. And I drive to the farm. It's only about not even a quarter mile of the farm from my house. And I'm driving to the farm and I can't deal with movement. The telephone poles and fence posts are passing me and my brain's freaking out. And it's thinking, what's going on here? And I get out of the truck. I walk to the barn and the stones are moving. My brain's just freaking out because I'm seeing every stone that's out there on the driveway.
Let me stop.
It's moving.
Let me stop, John, a minute. So he's talking about the processing, the information that's coming into his brain. His brain is not, you know, things slow down for us. We focus on things. All this information is coming into his brain and it is not processing it. It's like music blasting in a thousand different directions. Right, John?
Yep. To make a long story short, our brains do things that we don't even know they do until they don't do them. And mine would not process. To process, our brains process so we can deal with, able to focus.
So for like right now, you hear background noise, but you tune it out, right? You don't, you don't hear it. You hear it, but you don't hear it, right? You couldn't do that.
I couldn't be in any place that had a lot of stuff. Like a Walmart. I couldn't go in Walmart because my brain had to process. My brain has to process everything that's in there. You get all this stuff.
The colors and the sounds. And
it's, then what would happen is you get overwhelmed to the point where I call it, you go into shock and then you shut down and you can't do anything. Probably a couple months, I laid in a chair 16 hours a day just so I could get up out of a chair and walk.
Patches over your eyes. Keep the light out.
I couldn't deal with the light coming through my eyelids.
We're heading somewhere. Stay with us.
So it got so bad that I didn't sleep for 6 days. Everything that I saw would spin in my head. It just spin. And
folks, if you ever had vertigo, you can get an idea for what that's like.
And it was the information. It was the things that I was seeing would just spin. It wasn't really that it was vertigo. I mean, it's a
informational vertigo, huh?
Vertigo. And it sat there and spin, and my brain couldn't rest. And I just lay there in bed, and my brain would just spin. And anyway, the sixth day, or that night on the sixth day, I just lost my mind because...
strong believer in Christ. You've been born again, fire baptized.
I'm praying to the Lord, and this is an ongoing thing. I lived minute by minute. What I had to do was, Lord, just get me through the next minute because I didn't know what to bring because my brain was so stressed and couldn't deal with things. But anyway, that sixth day I got up, I was still working. I shouldn't have been doing anything, but my family.
He owned a business. He had to go, right?
Yeah. If you can walk, you go to work. And that was instilled in me at a young age. Anyway, I was still going over doing chores, milking. And then I would come home and I'd be in that chair the rest of the day. But anyway, that sixth day I come home and I knew it was decision day. I had basically in my mind two things was going to happen. I was either going to go nuts or it's going to have to end it. And that's hard to say.
He was going to go nuts or he had to kill himself. He could not go on. 6 days, hadn't slept.
And it's a tough place to be. And I understand people that have this. I've since researched some of this and found out a lot of these football players commit suicide. That have
traumatic head injuries.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you're anyway, sitting in that home, chair, man.
I came home that morning. I said, Lord, you've got to show yourself because I'm on the verge of doing something I don't want to do. And I came home and I laid in that chair like usual.
Imagine that in that reclining chair, got these patches on his eyes, block all the dark out, can't take the sounds, any of that.
And I laid there for maybe 20 seconds and
told the Lord he's got to intervene, huh, John?
Got to intervene here. And I felt my body come up out of the chair. And I don't know what's going on. And that split second, I was out of my body, completely out of my body. And I could see myself.
You're hovering above, looking down.
Yes.
You weren't dying. You never felt you were dying.
I didn't know. I didn't know. But if I was at that point, if I was, it was okay. I was at peace in that spiritual realm that I guess I was in, or I don't know what it was.
There ain't no doubt you were someplace outside of your body.
I was outside of my body because I could see myself. But I wasn't laying in the chair, brother. I wasn't laying in the chair. It was an angel came and lifted me up out of that chair. And I could see him holding me. He was holding me. He lifted me up out of the chair physically because I felt it. I felt myself come out of the chair.
And folks, you get this consciously. He's out, right? But his body's there, and he sees this angel come and lift him up out of that chair.
And it's as real as I'm sitting here with Coach. Probably even more real.
Probably more real.
It's more real. And I was in a state of, at least in my mind, a spiritual sleep or rest. And I thought it was maybe 10 minutes.
No fear.
No fear. No fear. None. Actually, it was a peace. And I was in it, like I said, for maybe I thought 10 minutes. And I come back into my body and I wake up. And we have a clock. I was down in the basement. We have a fire. We have a fireplace, a stove down there, wood stove. And that's where I would sit. And I woke up and I looked at the clock. Now, this was 7 o'clock.
In the morning.
And I looked at the clock. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
This 10 minutes.
Just 10, yeah.
It's from 7 o'clock. And there's no time outside of that body, right, John?
There was no time. I mean, in my mind, when I woke up, I thought it was 10 minutes. But I didn't know that when I was in this. It was just kind of a very weird thing. That I can't explain. It's hard for me to explain because until you end that and have that experience like that, it's hard to explain. It's hard to understand it. After that, I was able to sleep some. And but the awesome thing about that whole thing was I was crying out to God. I was crying out to Jesus. And it was a trust factor. And I had to trust him. And he showed up at the very moment that it was his timing.
Amen.
To show himself through that experience, to show himself was so powerful. That was the most powerful.
And so he lifted you out of your body. Folks, you know, we hear about, well, I saw all bright lights on. No, he just lifted him into another dimension. Whether it's for healing purposes, I'm looking at Trump sitting across the room. I know Trump's thinking data, reset, rebooting. Something happened there, right? That he heard your cry that I can't go on like this. And supernaturally, you weren't instantaneously 100% cured and healed.
No.
But it began your journey out of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's been a four-year journey that I wouldn't trade for anything because he showed me things that I would have never experienced not having this. I've experienced our Lord in a magnificent way in my life that I would have never, ever had the opportunity to experience if I wouldn't have went through this. And I think we all go through these things. And he allows us to go through these things so we can experience him. And,
but John, another realm.
Yes, there is. There is, brother. There is another realm.
There's another realm. You don't know how to get back there, but you know it. We hear that a lot in those near-death experiences, right? People are looking down, seeing themselves laying down there, and you've been there, man. You saw that.
One of the things about it, and I don't want to take up all your time, Coach, because you got things to talk about. But I had a girl, and this is part of the whole story. I taught Sunday school for 15 years, 7th and 8th graders, and it's a neat age to teach. But anyway, I had this girl that was in my class that had a concussion. she couldn't come to church for a year. She was couldn't go to school for a year just because she couldn't deal with
it. Sounds the same stuff.
The same thing I had. This was before I had mine. And she came back one Sunday morning to Sunday school, and she asked her about, you know, how she was doing and different things, and she started talking. And I said, Ashley, I said, you know, I don't know why God allowed you to have this, but I said, one day, I said, you're going to help somebody. And she was, her and her mom and dad were the key people in telling me where to go, what to get, you know, who to see. And I've been to four different therapists through the process. I kind of had to retrain my brain to be able to deal with movements again. They would put me through all kinds of different movements, put things on boards that were moving, and they just had to retrain my brain. But one of the other things was that I started telling her dad that I had this out-of-body experience. I said, John. He said, Ashley had the same thing.
Wow.
And I didn't really ask him if or what if she saw anything or what she saw. But I can almost assure you, brother.
Same thing.
Yeah. I can almost assure you. And I'm going to ask her. I'm going to ask her what she saw and what how that experience, how she dealt with it and how it affected
you. You didn't see a lot. You didn't see heaven. You didn't hear music. You didn't any of that stuff. But you know when you were there, there was no time there.
Nope.
Huh? And there was a sense of peace there that you cannot not explain.
Yes, yes.
And that was, when you cried out to the Lord, he answered. Mm-hmm. Right? He didn't supernaturally make you brand new, but
he
answered that.
Yes, he did, brother. He answered it.
Amen. What a story. And John's been hesitant to, first of all, he's a well-respected member of the community. You go around and start talking to people that you're had an out-of-body experience. They probably think you did hit your head, right?
Yeah.
What are you talking about here? Especially in today's spiritual world, right? Christian world. But I wanted John to share his testimony with everybody for us all to understand, boys and girls, that other realm is more real than we can even understand. It is real. Anybody got a question for John? I put that in there, John. I don't know if they do or not.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you for sharing, John. That was very.
Oh, you're welcome.
Huh? It's real, folks.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We all have these experiences, and it's awesome to see how God works and how he touches us and reassures us of who he is.
It's for a purpose, isn't
it,
John?
Huh?
And he will encourage others in there. So, number one, you don't have to be afraid of that realm. You don't have to be afraid. No time there. Isn't it amazing we talk about that all the time, that God sits outside of time? And up there's John's thinking he's been there 10 minutes. It's been the whole day and no understanding of the passing of time. To me, that fascinates me. Anybody else?
Hey, John, where are you from?
I'm from Ohio. I'm up close to where Gary lives. I'm from Marshallville, Ohio.
John is a very, very successful dairy ice cream, very successful eggnog business, very, very successful, and had to try to keep all this alive and moving forward as he's dealing with this kind of stuff. So it was, you know, there's a lot of stress that was involved with it. But look at this down here. He came, he came down here. He was worried about getting on the plane because he didn't know, you know, how that was going to work, but he came through okay with it.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, John. No, thank you.
Hey, God bless you guys.
So,
I want to thank Coach.
Amen.
Thanks, brother.
We're all in this together, huh?
Thank you guys out there in the huddle. You guys are awesome. We got a great team. We got a great team here. It's just been a blessing to be here,
Amen.
Brother.
Amen. Okay, so hang on a minute. I want you to slide in here for a minute. I want Mark to. Thanks, John. So here's the expert here. Here's the data man, right? So what happened, do you think?
I don't know. It's an amazing story, and it just goes to show you that God works. And Jesus works in his time.
In his way.
And that if we endure through hardship and reach out to him, he can respond. And if you don't reach out to him, he may not respond. But he may be wanting you to. So he reached out. He said this was a better story. He shared a little bit. But he said he prayed for Jesus to help him every minute. To make it through the next minute.
Something, huh?
So that's where the key is having Jesus part of your day every minute, and pray without ceasing, and just be a part of the Spirit. The more I've talked, the more I've wanted to be a part of the Spirit instead of part of the flesh. Being part of the Spirit, you stay in connection with Jesus. And we all fall out of the Spirit, but you want to be in a position when you're out of the Spirit that you you miss being with Jesus. And if you don't feel that pulling back into prayer and pulling back into having a conversation with God, then you need to spend more time in the Word.
But Mark wants to plan another trip down here in February. It's the Fellowship of the Saints, isn't it? It's
amazing. And it's assembling of the body. So I'm going to eventually do something on knowledge. And as we assemble these great men, John's amazing.
It's amazing.
Just we talked about his business and work and life. And these people are amazing. It's a group of people who are amazing. We're around people every day, but not everyone's amazing. Everyone here is amazing that shows up.
And brings a skill set.
It's amazing. So by assembling these people, we're assembling the knowledge in the body of Christ. By assembling that knowledge, it's scaring Satan. Mm. I know it is, because in the end, we'll be fully assembled. The body will have
all have
the
a piece
knowledge.
Of it, don't we? All have a piece of it.
We all have a piece. Some of us are ministers. Let ministers minister. Let teachers teach.
Someone wants to say something to you here.
Can I take this time to mention something? And I know I'm beating the
just
same drum.
Just do it.
But you know, the way Jesus taught us to pray, when we're praying "Our Father," and then "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," I'm consciously thinking the "our" part. Every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ around the globe that I have no concept of who they are, I want your will to be done in their life. Amen. If they've had a traumatic experience, I want you to work through that experience and bring about, you know, all things work together for good, not the best maybe, but for good. And, you know, we don't have to know about the circumstances and situations our brothers and sisters are going through to specifically pray about them, because God knows what they're going through. Amen. So when we pray the way he taught us to, there can be millions of people praying for that situation instead of a half a dozen that know about it.
Also, folks, we got to keep in mind, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And it sounds kind of trite. But the truth of it is, the answer to what you need is in the body. We're just not connected, man. We are just not connected.
And, okay, Kate.
Yeah, go ahead, Jenny.
I just wanted to share from what John said and what Mark's saying and all that. I know from personal experiences, you know some of that. It's always when we go through these things, the beauty of it is God has always drawn us closer to him. Amen. You know, we see the tragedy. But when you come out, like he just said, John did, he wouldn't have had it any other way. He's closer to the Lord Jesus than he was. And I could say I'm closer to the Lord than I was.
Amen. A greater understanding. See, it brings a greater understanding. And so, you know, we were at dinner 2 hours last night, and Trump's at one side of me, and Victor's on the other side of me, and Mark's sitting there talking to John. And it's just amazing to see the information that one guy has that validates another guy's thoughts or an answer to a problem that at the two of you not come together. That guy was carrying your answer the whole time. And you know,
every now and then you run across people that's like-minded out in the world. You know, you might meet them here or there, but whenever you're around a whole group of people, it's amazing. And I think what Roger's summing up, it's like that's what Roger feels being around these great men. I feel it too, well, Roger.
Listen to this. See, Trump just isn't, he isn't my brother. He is part of my body. He is a left arm to me or a right arm to me. This is the way this thing is supposed to function. And it is not. See, we're taught to go to church with a bunch of people we don't even know, act like we like them, act like everything's good, and then go home and live our lives. And that's not the way it's supposed to operate. Yes.
Hey, Mark, great to see you, man.
Morning.
Koinonia, that's what true fellowship is.
Amen.
And that's what this is. And this is what the body, like you just said, the body should be doing.
Amen.
This is true church.
And it's I love the word skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Finding the skill set. We each bring something to the table. You're not pushing a man aside because he's a little different here or there.
Amen. Like,
what can he do? Mm-hmm. What is his skill set?
Or how about
that terminology is so lacking.
How about this, Roger? How about us sharpening our brother's skill set?
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of us have skills, but we don't know how to use them. And so sometimes those skills are offensive or pushy or too much of this or too much of that. And so the idea is, hey, Trump, listen, you're really good at this, but man, hey, back off on this a little. That's the sharpening that's supposed to happen. Iron sharpens iron. That's why every time we have one of these things, I can't wait to get down here. And you see in relationships developed with people that you would have never have, you just never would have thought it would happen.
No. It's truly remarkable. You know, we work with his official name. He's got it marked on his equipment. Is Tree Limb Jim. Okay, so Tree Limb Jim sitting right over here. He slept in his truck. That's where he sleeps. He's more comfortable there. It's 38 degrees.
You guys met him yesterday.
You know, he comes in and he's part of the team now. But what he did spoke volumes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Jim Kraft was the one climbing in the trees last time we were here. Tree Limb Jim
took Jim's place.
Took Jim's place.
Because Jim couldn't make it.
I gave him a banana this morning. I said, you're going to need this for climbing in the trees a little later. It's just amazing who you meet, what skills they bring, what heart they have. And he's sitting here across the table from Coach last night saying, I can't wait for the coming of Jesus. I can't wait. I hope it happens in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't know who is inside these people. Remember, they're a spirit. The body is just a body. What do we react to? The body.
You've got to assemble that together.
You got to start feeling that gut feeling when you're dealing with people and dealing with people in the spirit.
Roger, I felt like I cut you off.
No. I'm just enjoying it. You know, we think about skill set in today's church. And what today's church doesn't ask, what can you do? It says, this is what we want you to do.
Of course. Right. So Gary Pierce is walking by me. Mr. Anal, right?
Left brain.
He's the left brain, right? And sometimes I think, ease up, will you, dude? Ease up. But that's part of the body. Jump in here, Gary. So, Gary, you know, I'm trying to say, what time are we going? Gary's got it down on his piece of paper, and he's keeping it down. We're doing this. I've done this. I've done this. And it's not a burden to him because it's his skill set.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Man, Coach, I'm just sitting here. I'm just soaking this all in. You know, I'm getting chills because this is what I've looked for all my life. And I'm like, it's here. This is it. This is the body. This is what I think most of us in the huddle were searching for, and now we found it.
And thanks, George. And the church does not cultivate this. It doesn't cultivate. Come in, sit beside somebody, take a minute, go around, shake hands with everybody. God bless you. God bless you. How are your family doing? God bless. And no connection at all. And so it goes back to unity comes from common purpose. So we come out, we're cutting up down trees, right? Well, what's that common purpose? Well, getting this job done. And when that common purpose and everybody's focusing towards that common purpose and not worrying about them, and I've carried 20 limbs and you've only carried 3 and not that kind of stuff. There's just a synergy there. What's your reaction, Gary? Because, I don't have to speak for you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the amount of damage and work that we see is amazing. Yesterday, we spent 90 man hours at this one house.
See, only he would know 90 man hours.
90
right?
man hours, and we've probably got another 40 man hours to go to finish it. So it's a huge job. And it's amazing that we had 15 people over there, and everybody just working together, moving labor back and forth
together.
Where it's needed. And everybody doing different things at different times and then switching. And yeah, we're working together like this, and it's fun. And George, you're right, man. It is really neat to the fellowship, the camaraderie, like-minded people. It's irreplaceable, and this is the place to be.
So let me tell a story here, and I won't use names. Everybody knows who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to use the names. One of the guys came brought his son with him, and his son is his son's just like a lot of young guys out there. He's 20 years old, but really, really self-focused and pretty much about himself, you know, lives his life for himself and yada, yada, yada. And so Gary and I begin to notice this kind of stuff. And so I talked to the dad, say, listen, don't get mad here. Right. Let me go at this here a little bit. Let me help you here with this thing. And so his dad stepped back a little bit. And so first day I said, listen, you're in charge of the meals. Okay. We got some bunch of subs in here. Mm-hmm. Your job, I'm telling this 20-year-old kid who in a lot of ways is like he's 12, learned helplessness, I call it. So I say this 20-year-old, you're in charge of the lunches. You get those things, get them in the cooler, get them out there. Day one, does a great job. So yesterday morning, it's Tuesday, he ain't in place to be seen. I know where he is. He's back there sleeping in, right? Back there sleeping in, because that's what he is. But Mr. Anal already found somebody else to get all the sandwiches and everything done so that we would have them when we get there, right? So here comes this young guy. We're getting ready, just ready to walk out the door. And I looked at him and said, you have the sandwiches? And you should have seen the look on his face. He said, well, you said yesterday. I said, no. I said, you're in charge of the sandwiches. And all these people now are not going to have anything to eat? He said, what the heck? He says, well, you could have told my father. I said, tell your father. You're 20 years old. What do you tell your father? You're in charge of food, okay? Well, I looked over here.
So guess what?
Packing sandwiches this morning.
So guess what? So last night he comes up to me and he's asked me, he says, hey, what do I need to get ready when? He says, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to pack that cooler. And he says, where do you want me to put the cooler? Okay. So it's ready and you know where it is. And so I told him. And sure enough, this morning I got up, came in, he was packing the cooler. He's got it all done. We got everything we need. It's ready to go. And the kids are on it. So, you know, just things like that, we're able to minister to the young people. Yesterday, we had another family here, the Hayes. Mm-hmm. Okay. They have two kids, their oldest one. We had this guy you were just talking about. And the oldest son of this Hayes family had him cutting chainsaws, cutting, I don't know, 20-inch, 22-inch diameter, using a chainsaw, cutting that baby through. And it takes, like, you know, several minutes to cut it through. And I think it's their first experience holding a chainsaw, wouldn't
sure,
it?
Sure, yeah.
And we got pictures of it, man. We're gonna have those for archive.
So it's, I mean, this is just, it's just walking out and living out the text here, living out the body the way it's supposed to be. Because listen, we don't know each other well enough. See? We really don't. I'm talking about the people. You think about the people that you go to church with, and their children are a mess. And if you've raised any children at all, you know this. Your kids learn to manipulate you. And most parents reach the point where they just want to keep the peace. Oh, don't, my wife would say, oh, honey, don't say that to him. That'll just set him off. Well, I think it's about time we freaking set some of them off, right? We have got to begin, just like in the culture, we have to begin to confront these spirits that are holding dominion over us. You understand what I mean? We have got to become more confrontational in our walk, because the guy that I was talking about is going to leave here after 4 days. He is going to be changed forever. Now, maybe not permanently, but this experience is a step forward of breaking him out of whatever that thing that's been holding him. And we have an obligation to do that to one another. We have an obligation. And, Roger Weaver and I go way back, and there was a situation that happened in our family with a family member 15 years ago. I don't even know how long it's been now. And Roger threw a lifeline when our family needed a lifeline, gave him a job. Roger did that. We have that obligation, boys and girls. If we're the body of Christ and we're family, we have that obligation to another to try to reach out. And sometimes, you know what's really hard? You got to sit the guy down. You got to sit the dad down and say, listen, I understand. Trust me. Stay out of it. Let me do what I have to do. And I think that I think we need more opportunities to build in one another's lives like that, because this battle's real, baby. This battle. Somebody come on in.
Coach?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to put a link in the chat, and I just did. There's three messages on that website that basically give scriptural foundation and reference to everything you've been talking about the last 15 minutes. And it's so important that we as Christians understand the significance of unity. And if you haven't already been to this website, please go to it. Not because I put it together or anything like that, because I didn't. The Holy Spirit did. But please go and let the scriptures build your inner strength in this issue, because this is what's going to bring us through to any kind of victory we ever have.
All right, Larry's got it up in there. Thank you, Larry. Okay, hey, cool. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, basically, this is a practice, and we're just practicing our faith so that when the real stuff happens, we're prepared. We know what to do.
Amen.
And that's where the body of Christ, I think the church in many ways, misses it, because it doesn't really prepare the saints or the people of God to be ready for times need to be ready.
That's so true. That's so true.
Something like this is very vital.
It is. I looked at Mike. I can't believe it's not 9 minutes till. I can't believe it. Okay. Well, Jared, all this stuff I have today, I'm not going to get into now because they're just going to be cracking it up. Guys, so I'm going to go there tomorrow. I'm going to get Trump in here a little bit with us tomorrow. I want to move off here because I just got 7 minutes. I always try to, and sometimes on a light heart, sometimes on something. Well, okay, here we go. Jared, click on. I got 1,000 things I want to share with you here. Discuss with you, not sure, whatever it is, 1,000 things. Yeah. Hey, Jared, just for a little bit of lightheartedness, click on it, says Google. I sent you a Google today. Pull that up there for me. This is, folks, this is the stuff I deal with. Okay, it'll be 30 seconds. Every day I get a Google alert of what they're saying about me out there. I get it every day. And today wasn't real long, but I just want to give credit to Pathos. It's a website, Pathos, and Right Wing Watch. Kyle, you guys out there, I just want to thank you for here's what they try to do. They try to make me look as weird as they possibly can. But by doing it, they out for me. They don't see it. See, they don't have the Christian, they don't have the Holy Spirit computer app. So the stuff we say to them doesn't make sense. But yet, when they write about me, what they say is the truth, right? They think they're making fun of me. And I'm sitting back as they're making fun of me, saying, yeah, they got that right. They got that right. So I forwarded to Jared 2 of them today. Let me see, Jared, if I can find you here. Look, Dave Dobenmeyer, my podcast gives you a daily dose of Christian testosterone. Click on that, Jared, and see what are they saying here. Right wing Christian activist Dave Dobenmeyer. I'm good, Victor. There we go. Right-wing Christian activist. Right-wing Christian activist. Like, I guess it's a left-wing Christian activist. Right-wing Christian activist recently promoted his daily podcast by telling readers at Barbed Wire that it offers a dose of Christian testosterone. Well, praise the Lord. It sure does. Wait a minute, Jared, go back there a second. And if you don't want his Christian manliness rubbing off on you, you need help. But that's right. Thank you. Thank you, Pathos. Let's go down here. Let's see what else they say, Jared. Oh, do you have any idea how much publicity they've given us here? For those of you who may not be aware, I host an internet podcast 5 days a week, live, blah, 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 blah. Those who join the show believe that Christian testosterone is a good thing. Thank you. I appreciate that. That is something that is sorely missing from the girly men filling most of America's pulpits. I couldn't have said it better myself. In fact, I guess I did. If you are sick of milquetoast Christianity, we invite you to join the huddle. We've been doing this show for nearly 3 years, and listeners are being challenged to a more active Christianity. Fighting evil is not a spectator sport, and we challenge the listeners to get in the game. And look what this guy who wrote this, worst pep talk ever. Listeners are being challenged. They're just being yelled at by a bigot who argues things like ugly women become lesbians because they can't. The women who flirt with men before saying they don't want sex are the real abusers, and that Hurricane Harvey was God's punishment for Houston be having a lesbian marrier. I didn't say that, by the way. It's not courageous to be a bigot. It's cowardly. Courage is standing up to that hate, especially within your own tribe. Dobbenmeyer has no idea how to do that, much less teach it. But this dude's watching.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You probably got 100 more followers now because of what you put on that.
Isn't it amazing?
I think you blew your cover.
But, Paul, they get it right. They get it right. Yeah. They just don't understand it, see?
They're too stupid to see that they are.
they do. They don't get it. Click on the other one, Jared. It's probably sort of a remake of that one. But these were two that popped up today. And it's the same thing. What Christian testosterone. Is that from Kyle? Is that our buddy Kyle? Kyle, you're going to man up sometime. No, this is Peter Montgomery. I got a different one at Right Wing Watch now. Hey, Pete, do they call you that for a reason? Coach Dave Dobmeyer, it's me, who pushes right-wing politics. I do that, along with his gritty gospel. I do that. Promotes a podcast, The Huddle, and a column posted a barbed wire on Sunday. Blah, 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 blah. If my email box is any indication, many of you are sick of the non-confrontational, nicer-than-Jesus message emanating from America's pulpits. Yeah! And he wrote and said that his podcast is training men and some women to grow some hair on their chest. Thank you, Right Wing Watch. Is this unbelievable? Those who join the show believe that Christian testosterone is a good thing. And some, this must really bother them. This must really bother them. Dobmeyer shared the notes sent by one of his listeners after a recent show. He's here's an example. Yada yada yada. So hey, it's all good, isn't it? The enemy knows our name. The enemy knows our name.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
That's just like Trump. You know, he had free publicity all during the campaign from the national media.
Yes.
Trying to hurl insults at him, but they kept giving him, you know, publicity. That's what they're doing here.
That's what they're doing here. And see, they think this humiliates me. They don't get it. See, they have no understanding. Remember, they don't have the Christian computer app, right? So they can't understand that what I'm saying is true. They can't understand that. And so they think they're humiliating me. And they're not humiliating me. They're supporting me. So God bless Right Wing Watch and Pathos and whoever else out there is doing it. Folks, this is what I'm trying to tell you. See, we have got to become more bold and more confrontational. We can't just continue to lay back and, you know what I'm saying. That's the theme of the show, right?
Hey, Coach.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Coach, you're right. We've got to use their ammo against you. I'll give you an example. Has everyone on the huddle, have you heard that Stephen Curry, and they've been hammering this on the news, that he said, in my opinion, I don't think we've gone to the moon. That's just his opinion, okay?
Right.
And so I've used that ammo. They're trying to make him look like a kook. I've used that to ask people to engage him in that. And I'll say, you know, I'm 50-50 on it. Honestly, you know, can we really trust our media? But I'm going to say, you know, and I'll ask these people, do you trust our media? Most people say no. I say, well, now I'm 70-30 that we haven't gone there because, you know, if the media is saying we have, we probably haven't. And you're right. We have to use their ammo against them.
So George, what we say, the talk is stuff. You just bring that up with some of your friends. Did you see what Stephen Curry said? He doesn't think we go to the moon. What do you think about it? You think we went to the moon? It starts a dialogue, and you'll find somebody will say, well, yeah, you know, I don't know about this. Well, what do you think about Kennedy? Who killed Kennedy? Oh, they're lying to us about that. Oh, yeah? What else are they lying to you about? What a door it opens, see? What a door it opens. So we gotta be smart enough. But remember, I'm often tell you, win the secular debate first. We can win the secular debate. We have truth. And truth is nothing more than opening eyes. When you open eyes, you have a chance to penetrate. And that's what we have to be about. And we don't ask. Jesus asked questions. He didn't do so much telling. He asked, have you not heard? Is it not written? He asked questions. We got to begin to do that too. And as we burrow in, it will destroy the platform of lies that they're standing upon. And boys and girls, they are everywhere. So crowd's ready to go. We're having our breakfast here. We're going to go out sunshine. It got up to almost 55 yesterday. It's going to be 60 today. And so we're going to go out and give a good hard work. Appreciate all the out there that are supporting us. And yes, you can send us some money because it's cost us some money to get down here and do this stuff and feed everybody. And we just appreciate your support. We covet your prayers. Let's forsake not the assembling of ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.